We want to take as many payment types as the people want. And how do you know what payment type is the right one for your company? You ask the sales reps. You ask your customers. If you just listen, your customers will tell you, I want to pay by PayPal. Great. You get with the IT department, you figure out how you can take PayPal. Whatever makes it the easiest for a customer to pay is great.
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We are your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today's guest is Nick Welpe, Director of Credit and Collections at Tact Food Services Division. Nick has over two decades of experience in B2B collections and has been with Tact for almost 20 of those years. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So for today's episode, we're going to be talking about customer centricity within collections. But before we dive into that, can you tell us how you found your way to Tact and what your role has evolved into?
Absolutely. I went to college at Marion University in Indianapolis, Indiana, and got my first job as a collection analyst with a different company. And I was there for 3 or 4 years. And then I applied to Central Restaurant Products, which is a brand of Tact Food Services, and started as a collector and have worked my way up all the way to the director of credit and collections.
And then before getting into credit and collections, you were also in customer finance. Is that right?
At Tact, I started as a collector. Then I was accounts receivable manager. Then we kind of rebranded the accounts receivable department to customer finance, handled collections, invoicing, everything that's, you know, in a normal accounts receivable, leasing, all of that. And then after that first year as director of customer finance, I took on the customer service department as well as the credit and collections accounts receivable. It was a great opportunity. I loved it. I wish I could still be over both, but with as much as we've grown, it's unfeasible to run both departments. But being in customer finance and customer service gave me all kinds of customer centricity of, you know, being able to take care of the customer's credit right away, listening to their issues and all of that stuff.
Figured you'd be a good person to pick your brain on about customer centricity strategies and how they've kind of evolved throughout your 2+ decades in the industry. So going back to the beginning, how do you feel like customer centricity was prioritized compared to the importance that it's taken up now?
I feel like we have done a great job with customer centricity. And the first thing that I remember from day one training that I still inject to people, or I guess I still train people this same way, communicate the way the customer wants to communicate. If the customer calls you, you call them back. If the customer emails you, you email them back. If they text, fax, Facebook message, whatever. Whatever the way the customer wants to communicate with you is the way you need to communicate with them.
Yeah, great sentiment. And how do you keep track of all of these different contact preferences throughout your entire portfolio?
Basically, it's through our ERP system where we keep notes. And you can see, you know, collectors go back to the last note on the account and it'll say called, emailed, faxed, you know, whatever.
And do you have different strategies or ways to approach people from an outbound perspective based on the historical preferences of how they like to be contacted? Or do you typically try to start with one way and then see how they respond and go from there?
Yeah, I think when I first started, it was a lot of phone calls. You know, 20 years ago, it was call, call, call. I would say probably nowadays, it's 85% email. All the businesses that we're contacting, it's easier for email. I would say we probably text more than we even phone, you know, use a phone these days. A lot of the times you're getting to the customer by them calling in, them emailing, saying, I need an invoice copy. The biggest thing with people not paying invoices is either they're didn't get an invoice copy, or they're just saying they didn't get an invoice copy to prolong the payment. And I mean, you're calling businesses. So, I mean, they know they have an invoice open. They're very good. And it's about being polite, listening to the customer and showing empathy with them.
Absolutely. Something that we kind of connect the dots to a lot here and the kind of content we produce is how collections can be a customer loyalty opportunity, because obviously being in B2B, you want long-term customers and a lot of repeat business. So if any of them were to fall into the collection stage of things, you don't necessarily want them, you obviously don't want them to have a bad experience and so that they leave if you're Absolutely. Able to get them current again. So how do you kind of look at it big picture wise of making sure that customer service is always kind of top of mind, no matter what area of the credit life cycle they're in?
You kind of look at it big picture as, you know, you're a part of the company that gets to put a great impression. If you're calling, you know, these people or emailing these people and you don't listen, you don't show empathy, you don't care, and it comes off in your emails, that's going to affect, they're going to tell the sales rep, right? But yeah, you want to communicate with them with, you know, the mentality of treat the person the way they want to be treated. Be understanding, be, you know, forceful, direct, but don't be mean.
That's a good sentiment. Just don't be mean as you're going through all of these communication, different kind of strategies. When you were in charge of the customer service team, getting to see the company from that side of things and then bringing it back to the collections team, were you able to connect any dots that ultimately helped the efficiency of the team?
Absolutely. Being with over customer service and accounts receivable, you could see that, you know, hey, these customers weren't paying the invoice because they didn't want to pay it. They were paying because the price was wrong, because, you know, freight wasn't calculated correctly at the beginning. Their sales tax, they're exempt, but we don't have it exempt on file. You know, having the two departments, you can bring a lot of them, you know, a lot of these things together, and you can take care of it and correct situations a lot faster than having to go from one department to the next.
Everything that you know today and you've been experiencing, where do you see it going next? How do you see customer centricity evolving, or just the collection space as a whole?
I believe you need to constantly work on it. You know, the mentality of calling to collect on an invoice is not going to change, right? But the way you do it, the technology you use, the things you can provide to your customers. Recently, you know, customers would get a, you know, dunning letter that showed the invoices that were past due. Well, you know, recently we, you know, implemented something that should have been done a long time ago of including the invoice copies with the dunning letter. Monthly statements. If you work at a company that doesn't send a monthly statement, it's so beneficial to send those, and customers just call and say, hey, I don't have this invoice. Or for some reason, this invoice went to spam. You know, with so much email these days and bouncing from server to server, customers don't get invoices sometimes, and it's okay. You just need to reach out to them and contact them.
Is there any technology that you're interested in trying out, whether it's dabbling in AI or just anything else that you've kind of been hearing?
I think AI is fascinating. I've heard of several companies using ChatGPT to send their emails and stuff like that. I've dabbled a little bit in it, but I feel like AI is continually getting better. And I think in a year or two, it'll be even better. But you kind of lose that personality, you know, touch to it that, you know, oh, how's your son or daughter or whatever? Because, I mean, some of the big accounts that you have, you build relationships with them. You learn about them. You learn about their interests, their hobbies, and you just treat them like a person.
Yeah, it's more so using AI to help with efficiency, but not to replace the relationship building.
Correct. You know, another customer centricity thing that we've, you know, I've utilized throughout the years is payment types. We want to take as many payment types as the people want. And how do you know what payment type is the right one for your company? You ask the sales reps. You ask your customers. If you just listen, your customers will tell you, I want to pay by PayPal. Great. You get with our IT department, you figure out how you can take PayPal. We take PayPal, Amazon Pay, Google Checkout. I mean, whatever makes it the easiest for a customer to pay is great.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point to bring up. I know pay types are a really big hot button topic right now, especially on the B2C side. But you're right, B2B just is the same. I mean, just different businesses, yeah, big or small, they're going to have different ways that they want to be able to pay. While we've been spending so much time focusing on the different communication channels, it's the same thing. You need to have that written down, how they prefer to pay, so that you can make sure your IT team can work on it. There's governance behind it and all that.
Yep. Another big thing in my success was building relationships with your sales department. So often you hear sales say, you know, credit and collections is the bearer of bad news, or is the, you know, sales reduction department. It's not that at all. If you have to make a tough decision and you can't give someone credit, tell your sales rep why. They understand, you know, to treat them like a person too, right? Don't just say, no, go away, right? If you explain it to them, they get it. They understand. They don't want the company to lose money or take too big of a risk. You know, I've been very successful offering different payment types. Hey, you know, we couldn't approve this person, but hey, if you want to get 50% down, I could do the other 50%. or we could do 50% of time of delivery. You know, we never want to walk away from a sale, unless, of course, it's fraud, obviously. But, you know, offer the sales reps options. Give them your reasoning, and it'll lead to such a better experience for yourself, the customer, and the sales rep if you're all, you know, communicating and on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to that customer loyalty, the collections team is just as impactful in customer experience as the sales team. And then they have a better experience, and then the loop goes on.
Absolutely.
So, Nick, it's been really great chatting with you today and getting your thoughts on customer centricity strategies. Is there anything that you want to add before we sign off?
Not at the moment. I just want to say thanks for this experience. It's my first podcast. It's been great. You're an excellent interviewer. And thank you for making me feel comfortable to be here.
Of course. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.